The question basically is, how does the fact that the geometric material, which is implicit in the Torah, which is also used in Egypt, how are we supposed to interpret that? Is it simply that they were misusing the material, and is that related to their ultimate demise?
I'm just trying to think of a metaphor. You know, one of the blessings in this week's Sedra is, I'll multiply you and I will glucose. So it'll be chapter 26. This is if you keep the Torah. So right at the beginning of chapter 26, pasuk 9, and I will turn to you and I will multiply you and I will make fruitful and increase you. So Rashi cites a comment of our Chazal, which is, and I will make you fruitful, that's that you'll have many children. And he says, "We are basias, I will increase you." That means, in stature, you'll stand tall. Bekema zekufa. Now, bekema zekufa, stand tall, is a term which generally is used in a kind of a critical way by Chazal. You know, standing tall implies arrogance, haughtiness, conceit. You know, people who walk that way are. It's like they were pushing the divine presence out of the way. How does this belong in a blessing? I mean, actually, the last thing he says in Pasuk 13 over there, before he enters the rebuke, is, I am Hashem your God who took you out of the land of Egypt from being slaves, and I broke the staves of your yoke, and I made you walk upright. And I led you erect. So this again, this is this concept of Kim and Muse, Kim is Kupo. So there's a by the story of the Akedah, Avraham goes out with Isaac, with Yitzchak, to the Akedah, and he takes along with them Eliezer and Yishmael. They come within vision of Har HaMoriah, of Mount Moriah, and Avraham looks up and he sees the divine presence hovering over the mountain. So he turns to Yitzchak and he said, what do you see? So he said, I see the Shekhinah. I see the divine presence above the mountain. So Avram turns to Eliezer and Yishmael and he says, and what do you see? They were not privy to the conversation, I would imagine. So they say, we see a mountain. That's all you see? Yeah, that's all we see. We see a mountain. So he said, okay, so you stay here with the donkey and we're going to go. I'm going to go with Isaac, and then we'll return. So the Gemara says that when he said, you stay here with the donkey, that he was making much more than just, you know, I'm leaving you here with the company of the donkey. It was a comment of, you're just like the donkey. The donkey looks down. In a certain sense, a slave who carries a yoke also looks down. Implication of the kaima zakoifa of standing upright is that you're not looking down, that you're looking up. Now, that's not a physical thing, because you can have people who walk upright and are looking down, and you have people who are walking bent and can see things are looking at a distance. It's not a physical thing. It's an ability to see the world in a certain way. So there are people who look off into great distance, and the prism through which they are looking is down. So whatever they see is refracted through that prism. What does the donkey see? What does Eliezer see? What does Ishmael see? Nothing. Because they're looking through themselves, and they see the physical world. Yitzchak may have been schlepping stuff. He was carrying the wood, but he looked at everything, including the ground beneath him. He looked at through the prism of divine service. So when you look at everything, not through yourself, but through the divine, then all the regular, ordinary things that you look at are illuminated in a different way. And when you look at a great distance, you can see the divine presence. You have a father of two children. And he says to the children, I am going to provide you with the resources that will enable you to climb this mountain. And climbing this mountain has two potential expressions. One is, the higher you go, the more you see of what's beneath you, and the more control you have over what's beneath you, because there's more and more of that world that comes under your supervision. So going up on the mountain can put you in greater and greater control of your physical world. But that's if you're looking down. Going up on the mountain brings you closer to the summit. If you're looking up, then it puts you in greater control of reaching the summit. So it depends where you're looking. All of these manifestations of the energy which God invested in the world, in our physical world, came into being with certain patterns, with a certain divine order, and were passed on through Adam and the generations that succeeded him in ways which allowed for the fact that some people would reach into them to give them a more and more commanding position in the physical world, and which led to the illusion that they're in control. So one of the goals of our physical sciences today is to bring the world under our control. We want to be able to control disease. We want to be able to control nutrition. We want to be able to control energy, environment. So far we've made a lot of headway in everything but the weather, but we can't really control the weather, but we made a lot of control in, it seems that just as you know, science manages to get a fistful of control over a disease, then it takes another, all of a sudden something else appears on the horizon that we didn't seem to know about before. So you can have this pattern of 7 or the pattern of 49, and if you know how to use all of these different forces, the astronomical forces and even the astrological forces and the geometric and mathematical forces, how to use those, if you know how to look for them, then at least in the short run they give you a sense of control. This very same wisdom, if you're not looking down, but if you're looking up, gives you greater and greater access to the summit, or gives you greater and greater access to connecting with Hashem. That direction is very humbling, because the closer you get to Hashem, the smaller you become, and the more open you are to the recognition that we control nothing. The difference is this paradox. The more we become an extension of Hashem, the more control we gain, the more full we become, because we're an extension of Hashem. It's in our humility and in the recognition that we are nothing, that Hashem fills us with His energy, with His power. Tzadik Gezer, Kodesh Baruch Hu Mekayim, the righteous person decrees and God shapes his world according to those decrees. Because all the tzaddik wants is the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those people who plug into all of these same principles and want to use them to get control, the fate of that is that Egypt comes and goes, and Rome comes and goes, and Greece comes and goes, and Babylon comes and goes, and Germany comes and goes, and comes and goes again, comes and goes again. And the reason for that is that God intended it to be used as a resource to access Him, to use the Shabbos as a resource to access Him. But when you're using these same paradigms, and you're using them because we want to continue to foster this illusion that we are in control, in effect, the Rebbeinu Shlomo does not let it happen. He does not allow. He gives it enough space so that it can take root in people's minds, and people can can elect to be misled by it, but eventually they're disappointed. I think so many times of some of the people that I knew when I was growing up, and there were several women my mother would talk to, and they were very into Freud. Now, this is in the 1940s, and Freud was God. Freud in the 1940s was God. His worldview, his philosophy of psychology was absolutely the dominant way of thought. And a little bit later on, we had behavioral psychology with B.F. Skinner, but that, which was an offshoot of Pavlov, really, but I really didn't enjoy a whole, really kind of the last 40 years of the 20th century, psychology all of a sudden began to reject Freudian principles. And then you had these, you had paleo-Freudians, and then you had neo-Freudians, and with all kinds of little flavors of thing. But, I mean, I don't know, there are still some people who, in psychiatry are using this stuff, and but it's, for the most part, it's as a scientific approach has been discredited. And I think to myself, I still remember the amount of time that these people invested in Freud. And what a waste. I'm sure that there's got to be 7 billion hours that people invested in the pre-Galilean view of you know, trying to live their lives according to the way they thought of the world and how you have to establish yourself. So the fact is that, you know, we're very full of ourselves today, and we believe that we know more. But every now and then, the Almighty creates something new and different, and we start over again. It's all there, and it's there in a way. And if we didn't know it yet, that we should really go look for it, because once we know that that's the way the world begins, and we have to know that that's also part of the... You know, somebody brought me a stone from... It's called the Sinai Stone. It supposedly comes from this mountain that they've identified as being Har Sinai in the desert. And when you look at it, it's broken off. If you look at it, its entire surface has little bushes. If you break it in half, no matter how many times you break it, what you'll find on the surface are these little bushes. And it's like that's part of the DNA of the universe. Is, you know, no matter how many times you break it, you're going to still find these principles at work. All right.